As we heard earlier in the morning, there are two local Broulder farmers who are working to have food delivered to the water protectors at Standing Rock. Rod Bruski and Mark Gutteridge join me now in the studio. We're going to chat in just a minute because you really are working on a very kind of concrete project. We heard the evening that I went to Olin Farms or Mark Farms to load up your truck, and then Rod, you went the next morning to Union Station, the last morning of the farmers market, loaded up even more produce, headed up to North Dakota. Now, when you went, you actually kept an audio diary for KGNU. We're going to hear a little bit about that now, and then we're going to chat a little bit more. But first of all, here's Rod Bruski keeping his audio diary at Standing Rock in North Dakota.
Well, I finally have gotten the okay from my inside connections to head in. The one thing is the water protectors have set up their own barricade at the new camp, and they're wanting me to deliver this food to them. So I'm getting ready to head in. I'm a couple miles out, but I've ran into one of the protectors. And who are you? Where are you from?
My name is Greg, and I'm from the Turtle Mountains, Chippewa, down here standing with Standing Rock.
What brings you down here?
To protect the water.
Well, how do you feel about how our government's treating everybody?
I don't think they're treating us fair, and they're not doing their jobs accordingly the way they're supposed to be doing them. They're for the corporate, is all they're for, is corporate. They're not for the people.
Well, hey, good luck, and God bless you for being here, and wish me luck.
God bless you, too, and good luck to you, and glad you came.
Well, we're all Standing Rock, is all I can say.
That's right. Stand strong.
Thank you.
Thank you.
I was there as a cinematographer, and they arrested me for trespassing and engaging in a riot. Jailing media makers is not conducive to a free press, and it speaks volumes that the police assault unarmed people, and some of these people were elders, women, and children. The water protectors and land defenders showed up in prayer, and the police showed up in riot gear. We were peaceful and met with mace, and the police were pointing loaded, less lethal weapons at the unarmed and peaceful protests. This is a legally defined act of terrorism by the police and should be treated as such.
So are you feeling that our government is out oppressing the indigenous people here that are protecting the waters?
They are currently and have been for the past 500 years.
That was the voice of a cinematographer who had been arrested as she was documenting what was happening at Standing Rock. And that was recorded by Rod Bruski, who is a farmer from Longmont, who took a recorder to Standing Rock as he was there delivering food that had been collected from local farms. And I'm delighted to have Rod in the studio along with Mark Gutteridge, another Longmont farmer. And well, first of all, Rod or Mark, I mean, talk a little bit about the nexus of this. We heard a little bit earlier this morning about why local farmers have this affinity with the water protectors, and then we'll talk a little bit more about actually the plans now for the winter.
Well, how it all started is one afternoon I was over at Mark's farm, and we were just, it was right after the incident where the DAPL private security forces sicked the dogs and maced the water protectors when DAPL actually brought in heavy equipment from several miles away and started bulldozing a sacred burial ground for the Standing Rock tribes there. And for myself, I've been following it and seeing it, and it was just really hit us pretty hard. And Mark and I were kind of talking about, like, how can we help them out? Because, you know, we protect land, and, you know, water is sacred to us. And so Mark and I kind of got this wild hair. And fortunately, my wife is a doer, and I was thinking, well, we should probably try to work on, you know, organizing a sustained effort. And my wife says, well, you should probably do something right away. And it was really great for me because I was able to go be boots on the ground and see what needs were really needed to be fulfilled up there in Standing Rock. And I think Mark can kind of talk about how it went from there and what we're going to do.
Sure. And then, Rod, I know that you said you had a goal of bringing up 2,000 pounds of food. I mean, do you know how much you ended up bringing up?
I think it was right around probably 800 pounds to 1,000 pounds of, you know, some fresh produce. And I really do want to say thanks to all the farmers that did participate. This was just like a last minute fly by the seat of your pants effort that I put forth. And, you know, the farmers down at the Union Station Market that are associated with Boulder County Farmers Market, you know, sent a lot of really great, delicious, organic, fresh produce. And, And it was well received once I got there.
But we'll talk a little bit more about more deliveries. But Mark Goodridge, earlier we heard when I spoke to you at Olin Farms that evening when you were loading up Rod's truck, you know, that you really see the affinity between what's happening in Boulder County and farmers working to protect the natural resources here, soil and water, and then, of course, what's happening at Standing Rock. Can you expand a little bit more on that?
Yeah, absolutely. I think it's... I kind of look at this issue from three perspectives, and by training I'm an environmental engineer and water resource engineer, and I understand how government programs and private sector programs go forward and the public input that's taken and some of the reasons that the pipeline ended up not going north of Boise, instead going down by the Standing Rock Reservation, all the public input that was taken into that decision. And see, I kind of understand why we got to the point where we were. But at the same time, I understand the Native Americans' point of view up there as a farmer, someone that works with my land, someone that considers myself both emotionally and spiritually connected to the land that I farm out in Longmont. And that's the same way that these guys feel about their lands up there. And I couldn't imagine a pipeline or something coming through the middle of my land, what that would do to me. I think the closest thing I have in my understanding of that is the 2013 flood, which went right through the middle of my farm, and really was a devastating event, both for the farm and for me as a person. But out of that, I was able to really even look at nature more and see how can man work with nature to rehabilitate nature. And I know I've talked to you throughout the year about the carbon sequestration research and regenerative agriculture and this big push to get more regenerative ideas and concepts out into the agricultural front as a way to tackle climate change and global warming. So when you see all the climate experts are saying, let's reduce our fossil fuel use, there's a great effort within Boulder County to really look at land management. And even last week, the county officially launched a task force to move that carbon sequestration research forward. And it's like a really exciting times. But at the same time, here we have this huge pipeline that's going to just introduce more fossil fuels into the equation. It's like, it's so overwhelmingly disheartening. Like, where are the priorities? What is this? So I think that besides all the legality of treaty land and the public process and why the pipeline ended up where it is, there's this turning point, this tipping point that I see where we're either going to, as a country, come together and accept these kind of regenerative, working together, collaborative ways to work with the earth and really talk about climate change in a serious way, or we're going to continue down this extractive mentality that we've been seeing that have led us to where we are and led the climate to where it is. And so, like Rod said, we knew we had to do something. What could that be? How could we let our voices be heard, or how could we make a difference? And I thought, what do we have? Like, we're not financially rich. We're not big public figures. But you know what? We grow some pretty amazing food. And what if we could just send that food up there? And if water is life and energy, like as farmers, we believe food is life and energy. And for me to send that food up there and say, I hear you. I know what's going on up there. And that's the third way I look at this, is first as an engineer, kind of understand where this came from, as a farmer trying to relate, and the last piece is really that human piece. And I think why we're here today to talk about how can we get more citizens involved in this. This is a really big issue. It's not, and it's just now starting to really come out into the mainstream media for the first time after so long, and after journalists had to get arrested to get this out to where it is. And it's a really big turning point, I think, for our community. I think there's a lot of positive things and positive discussion that can finally be being made. And so what we're doing is we're organizing another delivery of food up there, but really trying to make a little more public delivery this time. And Sustainable Resilient Longmont is a nonprofit in Longmont that works with a lot of sustainability issues. And so they're partnering with us to help get the word out a little bit more. And they're going to have booths at both farmers market, the Longmont Farmers Market and the Boulder Farmers Market, this upcoming Saturday. And we're going to have collection jars there to where people can come by and donate money that the farmers market will then use to buy wholesale produce from our local farmers. So we can get a really nice big order of food going up there. And then also that day, we're going to be collecting messages. I think a lot of people just want to have a verbal support and say, you know, I understand what you're going through. I see the pictures of you guys online, like under some just horrendous circumstances, and you're not alone is, I think, the message we need to send right now. And so there'll be a chance on that, the market too, for people to write down a message, and we'll compile those in some way in a book or something, and that'll be delivered with the food as well. So I think it's kind of an exciting time.
Well, we'll put information about both of those events. So at the Longmont Farmers Market and the Boulder Farmers Market, this coming Saturday. So there will be a booth there where people can make monetary donations, but also send messages of support along with those donations as well. Well, we're speaking with two Boulder County farmers this morning here on KGNU. We just heard from Mark Gutteridge, and we're also speaking with Brad Bruski, and they've already organised one pilot delivery. Almost £1,000 of locally grown produce was delivered just over a week ago to the water protectors at Standing Rock. Mark, you said this next delivery that you're planning will be more public, and I know this last one we deliberately didn't say anything until you came back, Rod, because you expressed some concerns, and certainly the water protectors expressed concerns about nefarious interference maybe with something like this. I mean, obviously you can't just bring food up. There was some mistrust. I mean, you certainly had to make a real direct connection. Talk a little bit about that.
Well, I was really fortunate because I have a really good friend that has been working on the inside, and when I first kind of proposed this, I got a hold of him because I knew he was doing some work with the water protectors, and they do have concerns. I mean, you know, this is just an event of history repeating itself. You know, you can look at Selma 1965, Wounded Knee, the Sand Creek Massacre here in Colorado. Pick your history book, and you can see that, these people are very cautious about, support and stuff. So it took some time for me to be able to, know that I was able to go up there and be well received, and it was pretty interesting. It was very tense situation because the Saturday I left was when they had the arrest of 83 people. And so when I arrived there on Sunday morning, the connections that were going to, help escort me into the camp and get me connected with the right people were busy getting journalists. It was, Unicorn Riot, these journalists that were, have been doing just a stand-up great job of covering this that, the corporate media is not covering of what is actually going on. So I had to kind of wait for them to get one of their journalists out of jail and finally got the okay to get in. And that's when a lot of craziness was going on. And for me, it was, being a Caucasian, privileged, American living in Boulder County and going up there, I found it pretty disturbing because it really felt like I was entering a third world country. The police presence was there. You could really cut the tension, you cut it with a knife in the air, so to speak. That it was very a tense situation. It was a little scary for me because they have been, the North Dakota police have been known to profile people and pull them out, especially if you're an outsider, to, just discourage you from trying to help. And so for me, it was a little scary, and I didn't want to end up in jail or anything like that. But I didn't. Once I got into the camp, it was such a great community of support. Everybody was helping one another, well organized. The camps are kept very clean. They're right on top of things. Everybody has tasks. They're building a greenhouse. They're also setting up a school because there's lots of families up there. I wouldn't suggest just anybody wanting to go up and observe because it is a dicey situation up there. This is, one of these historical points in our nation that
And you also don't want to be in the way. I would imagine there's enough concern about keeping themselves safe without people just going up randomly without necessarily with best of intentions maybe, but not necessarily.
Yeah, and it is. So I would just a word of caution I would say is if anybody feels like they want to go, like I felt the need to be there and go and contribute however I could, but I just really think that if anybody does go up there, they need to realize that North Dakota winters are really dangerous and people do die from exposure and stuff up there. And so, it's not like a concert or anything like that, that if you do go up, you should probably expect to be self-sufficient and really think about how you could help. There was some contractors from Boulder County that I ran into at the Sacred Stone Camp, and they were helping assemble yurts and you know, helping prepare for winter, working on the greenhouse. I kind of threw down for a little while when I got in there because there was a lot of people trying to build things, and my background's in building, and kind of got people going in the right direction. And I think if people want to do something like that and realize that, you know, there is a certain amount of risk being there, you know, that is the consequences. But just going up there to observe, I don't think is a good thing. And I think the best thing you can do is, you know, support Mark and I's effort by monetarily giving at the farmers market. You know, there's a lot of websites that are funding, you know, there's 140 people Thursday that got thrown in jail. They need monetary help. And I think, you know, you can go online and look at, you know, GoFundMe and some of the other websites and find the Red Warrior Camp and contribute. But also, for like Mark and I, we were looking at, like, how can we support our own community so we can reach out? You know, it's kind of the, you know, support your local community, but let us help support Standing Rock. We have that rapport with them. They know where their food is going to be coming from, so they'll feel more comfortable in accepting those kind of donations.
Well, just in terms of that, was there a concern about the possibility of tainted food going up? I mean, there's a long history of this. I mean, and I understand that there would be mistrust. One of the areas that you had to create trust in was that you were a farmer, you had grown a lot of this food, you knew the other farmers who had grown the food. Was that an issue as well?
Well, I think when I first arrived, you know, when I first arrived into the Sacred Stone Camp, that's the camp I ended up going into, just because of that feeling of, you know, being plucked off the street by the police and, you know, and detained and not being able to make the delivery was a big concern of mine. And it's, you know, it was just, you know, trying to just relive that whole thing was just, you see this tide of empire coming out, and it was a little discerning.
That's
kind of lost my thought there.
That's okay. That's Rod Bruski. He's joining me in the studio along with Mark Gutteridge, two Boulder County farmers who are setting up a fund to be able to donate fresh, locally grown produce to the water protectors at Standing Rock. Rod recently delivered almost 1,000 pounds of locally grown food. It was like a pilot delivery, and there will be an opportunity to donate monetarily to this effort at the Boulder Farmers Market and the Longmont Farmers Market this Saturday. We'll put more information at our website, and I would direct people to news.kgnu.org because we have some photos that Rod took when he was at Standing Rock, and we have some of the interviews that he did as well as the interviews that we did before they made that delivery. Well, Mark, there, as I said, there are the two efforts at the Farmers Market this coming Saturday. People can donate. Do you think that something needs to happen at a wider level, that it's not just, you know, local people who are interested? Do you think there's efforts maybe at a county level to support what's going on?
You know, absolutely. I think that's because from our, we really haven't seen a great response from our national politicians, even from local Senate and state and Congress politicians. I think it really is a grassroots movement that has gotten this into the media, that has really raised this question and started asking these big questions. Bill McKibben had a great piece in the New York Times last Friday that really raised a lot of awareness and linked the Native knowledge and looking at, they're the only, the Native Americans, the only ones that were able to live on this continent for 1,000 years and live in harmony with the planet. There's so much we can learn from them. There's so much that we can, they have the, a lot of the answers that we're facing this climate battle. And I know the city of Lafayette made a resolution, same with Standing Rock. The commissioners did something similar as well. So now it's, what does that look like? And beyond the farmers, this is just one piece, just getting, let's get some good healthy food up there and nourish the minds and the souls at the same time. There's medical needs, there's law needs, there's a lot of different ways. There's when Rod came back, said we just need some freezers up there so we can send some of our frozen chickens up. We need the solar panels to run those. And there's so many unique ways of people hear this and they can think of unique ways that they can get involved. I think after organizing the produce, gathering all the produce from local farmers, we're going to have a drop-off of like blankets and supplies and things like that at the farm about the same time the produce is coming before we get everything put together. So there'll be some follow-up things to do, and I encourage people to think about those community collaborations and how can how can we use this opportunity to have these discussions that we're just haven't been having about Native American rights and proper land management tools and proper oil and gas regulations. I mean, Boulder County could be the next Standing Rock. There could be, there's waiting for moratoriums to go out of place, so we could be the next ones fighting for this. So let's see.
Well, Bruce, I know you have personal experience with fighting fracking here in Boulder County as a farmer, as a homeowner here, and I know that you've made the connection between oil and gas extraction in North Dakota and what's happened here in the county as well.
Well, that might have been some of my inspiration, but Maeve, I would just, you know, when Mark was talking about this, this is one of the needs I think that, you know, would probably be a really good suggestion to somebody is, you know, these people have been traumatized by the military state of North Dakota. You know, these people were beat on, shot with rubber bullets and stuff. And I really, one of the things, I don't know if anybody has thought of the need that if there's any people that are great in counseling in these type of traumas, I think those people, you know, being traumatized like that, some counseling might help. So if there's somebody out there that may want to do that, I think they need some legal aid. I know there's you know, all these people have repeatedly been arrested and, you know, donating to the Legal Defense Fund. But if there's any lawyers out there that think that they could possibly help out, you know, there is some websites and, you know, maybe we see some more of these professional type people getting involved in this, because it is so, so amazing what these brave people are doing up there. And we really, as a community, a global community, we need to get behind this. It's so important. This is 2016, United States of America, and I'm just shocked and appalled to see, you know, what is going on, and they're trying to throw a big blanket over it and pretend it's not happening, but it is happening here in our country, and it's just amazing. And I sure hope everybody does, you know, support us farmers in our effort, support however you can. And, you know, think twice about if you are going to go up there, be prepared as well. So.
Well, we will be putting links to various different organizations that have lists of needs and ways that people can help. And in addition, Mark, just in the last minute or so that we have, once again, this Saturday at the Longmont Farmers Market and the Boulder Farmers Market, what booth should people be looking for?
There'll be a booth. Sustainable Resilient Longmont is sponsoring the booths at the market. We'll have a community table at the market. And Murad's going to be in Boulder. I'm going to be out in Longmont with some other volunteers from the organization and anybody else that wants to come out. And there'll be a big jar there to collect market bucks or to collect cash donations. And all that's going to be given to the farmers market, who have agreed to help be the third party that keeps it honest, make sure that it is going to local farmers and that they have connections to buy the food from all of the different members that want to participate, and can get a lot of great food lined up to send up there.
We will put that information at news.kgnu.org. Now, at the posting where we have the photos that Rod took when he was in North Dakota, there's also a link to Stop the Frack Attack, which was, I think, the organization you connected with. They also have a fundraising page as well.
Yeah, and I think one of the other things is it's really important. There's a little media group called Unicorn Riot that's been up there, and they've been on the forefront. They have gotten arrested over 5 times, and those guys are the ones that are actually really putting the truth out there and are right there on the front lines and putting their bodies and souls on the line to really get the truth out there, since corporate media has been really twisting what's happening. From my own personal experience, I have seen it by seeing what is going on the ground and then seeing what the corporate media says is really twisted. And these people are peaceful. They're protecting the land for future generations. They're protecting the water for us. And that's why we have to get behind them.
Well, we're going to continue to cover this here at KGNU. And actually, throughout this week, we're going to hear from more Coloradans who have been working at Standing Rock, either going themselves or working to organize folks to help the water protectors at Standing Rock. But this morning, I would like to thank Mark Goodridge and Rod Bruski, to Boulder County farmers, for coming in. We'll put that information about how you can support their efforts to deliver fresh and locally grown produce to the water protectors. We'll put that information at news.kgnu.org. And while you go there, you can check out Rod's photos that he took recently at Standing Rock. Thank you both for coming in.
Thank you. Thanks, Maeve. And we'd like to thank all our KGNU community members for participating.